Check it out. Territory. Ain't nobody been there. You understand? Undiscovered. So call somebody and tell somebody. There's a new day, and there's also a new sheriff in the town. A lot of things will be exposed real soon. Love you. Be good.
Hello, promoters, and welcome to episode number 171 of Uncharted Territory. It is I, Stu Lowry, back. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, certainly missed the fellas. Happy to be back once again on our podcast. I've got a good smorgasbord of topics tonight. Looking forward to getting into that discussion. But first, let's get the weather. The weather here in Virginia has been absolutely delightful. A little taste of spring. Temperatures have been in the 70s, overnight lows in the upper 40s and low 50s. No humidity whatsoever, which is awesome because the humidity will be coming soon enough. And it's just been a nice break from winter. It's going to get a little cold next week. But hey, we don't have that 5 feet of snow that's going on out in Colorado. So it's just fine with me. So, with that, let's talk to the other members of our esteemed panel. First, we're missing Corey Olson tonight. He's on vacation with the family, so we wish him well. Maybe, possibly.
Don't really miss him.
But let's talk to the... What's that, Chad?
Said I don't really miss him. I'm just kidding.
Well, let's go to the other members of our esteemed panel for this evening. Tim Dalton, how are things?
Well, Stu, everything's good. I mean, I'm back from a trip out to Arizona. It was my spring training trip where I got to see absolutely no baseball whatsoever. So it was kind of a little different than I had planned. But, you know, it all worked out. It was nice and warm out there. It was in the 60s and 70s pretty much every day. And I came home to the airport on Sunday night and it was snowing and I had to brush my car off and the wind was whipping. So that was rotten. But today... normally the temperature here this time of year is about 42 degrees and we were at 64 degrees today. So we're 20 degrees above normal, although it's supposed to dip back down into the chilliness, later in the week here or later in going into the weekend and in next week. So, you know, you never know. It's like a box of chocolates, baby, here in Buffalo in March. You're never quite sure what you're going to get. So, you know, right now it's just nice to crack a window and get some warm air in here that's not completely dried out from having the heat on all day.
I agree. Promoters, you can't see, obviously, but I have my window open behind me. So it is nice to get that fresh air. Chad Olson, how are things with you?
You know, we're pretty good. Spring break for my kids and for Iowa State University, so it's been a little quiet in the office. Weather's been kind of erratic. It was 70 the past few days, and then we had a bunch of cold rain today, and then it's supposed to be 30s tomorrow morning, so kind of like 50s during the day. So we're back to spring. It was good to get some spring rain, though. It's been very dry here. We had a very dry winter, so we need these kind of things.
Indeed we do. Indeed we do. Winter does dry me out as well. So
I thought you fell asleep there, Stu. I was going to tell you, and I didn't know if you need pop in and say, this is the part where you talk now, Stu.
I'm a little rusty, fans. I'm a little rusty, but I'm picking this thing back up. It's like riding a bike. I will say I am toasting the end of eggnog season as far as it is concerns the Lowry house. This is the last of our eggnog, so we won't see that again until late October, early November, or mid-November. So
it's good very batch. Sad. So it's a sad day in the Lowry household.
Very, Tim. Very sad. Very sad. but we will persevere. Well, with that, let's get into the What's New segment, which we have a few announcements from all over the Folsom Gear Games universe. Up first were a couple of Legends announcements. One was kind of a surprise. Louis Spicoli, he was announced officially, I guess, end of last week. I can't even remember. I think time has been a blur as of late. But any thoughts on Louis Spicoli, guys? It's kind of a fun announcement.
Yeah, I think he's a good name to have, and it was a fun card to research. He had a pretty robust career around all over the world, really. So I hope people like him are excited to have him in their promotions. I think he fills a good niche. I feel like we say that a lot with some of these mid-card guys. But he's a good guy to have on your roster and to be either a babyface or a heel.
No, I would agree.
Tim, you have any thoughts on Louis? Sorry.
Yeah, I think he's kind of one of those cool additions that can, like Chad said, could fit in a lot of different spots for you. I think he's a name that not a lot of people were really expecting. He's the one kind of new name, I guess, in the four pack. So, I think people will really enjoy him. He had a pretty dynamic move set and had a lot going on. So, and like Chad said, all over the world. I mean, he huge down in Mexico and all over the place here in the U.S. as well. So good addition to the Legends game for sure.
I agree. We also had the announcement of the Mongols, which I haven't had a little fun with in their black and white version, but hadn't done a whole lot with. But the color versions are looking kind of fun. So, Tim, any thoughts on the Mongols?
Yeah, I think these were, some of the ones that were most requested, I guess, from the black and white cards that haven't been converted over yet. So kind of nice that we could do them all at once and kind of throw them in there as a threesome. And, you can kind of mix and match the cards a little bit. I mean, Gito was kind of the one that it's kind of like Bobby Eaton with the Midnight Express, right? You had Bobby and Stan and Bobby and Dennis, and you had Gito and Beppo and Guido and Bolo. So kind of cool to do all of those and kind of make each card a little bit different and throw a little bit of a different spin on them from the originals. Just make sure that they all kind of work together. I really thought it was cool. I'm glad that we were able to get these done, and I think they'll be very well received by the people out there that are playing the Legends game.
I do too. I think it's a fun team. Chad, any thoughts on the Mongols?
It's great to have the Mongols finally in color. I think people will be excited to have them and get all three of them at once. So you can do your Guido and Beppo or your Guido and Bolo, or perhaps even alter the rules of space and time and do a Beppo and Bolo.
Good God.
That's a lot of Mongols.
Wow.
You could team them with Genghis Khan and Mitsuko.
There you go. Good. Now you're talking.
That's stuff of genius.
Even though the Mongols were from Croatia and Genghis
Easy.
Khan and
Mitsuko. Let's not let a good story ruin a good story.
True. Yeah, never let the truth get in the way of good story. That's what I would say.
That's it. All right. I had a number of announcements in the Indies lineup or with the Indies set that's coming out. First, we had Man Like Dries and then Leon Slater. Anybody know anything? I actually researched Man Like Dries. He seems to be a up-and-comer on the independent scene. I can't remember what I read. But I read about him. And he's an up-and-comer on the independent scene. Any thoughts on either one of these guys? You know, anybody heard of him?
No, but their little bio on there made it sound interesting that they've tagged together and feuded together, which is...
Yep.
You know, something I've seen around different indie promotions before too, where guys they're so tight that they will tag sometimes in some promotions and they feud, you know, when they hop in the car together to maybe go to a promotion that's not local together to where they are, you know. Seen that before. So I think it's great to have them.
Yeah, I would agree.
I do too. We had Daniel Maccabee or
I think it's Maccabee.
I'm butchering that name. Maccabee. Daniel Maccabee.
I have heard of him.
Not familiar with Daniel? You have heard of him. All
right, I've heard of him. Yes. Yes, I've heard of him. So it's exciting to get somebody in there that I've actually heard of.
I haven't heard of him, but when I saw the drawing, I thought he looked like Lux Interior from the Cramps. So I'm a fan.
Sorry about your cramps on your interior, Tim.
Well, you know, hey, the Cramps were a great band. But yeah, I thought that was the first thing when I saw the drawing. I'm like, he looks like Lux Interior from the Cramps. So who knows?
Instantly vaulted to your number one.
There you go. He's going to be the king of my my indie fed whenever I get that started.
Can't wait.
Or he'll
for
at least
that.
Be the lead singer.
Bada bing. How about Hunter Drake? I'm not familiar with Hunter's work either. So somebody save me. Okay. No takers.
No, but I mean,
where's Corey when we need him?
It's good to have them all. Well, he's a Southern standout. I don't know if.
Okay.
The self-proclaimed heartbreak carny. Like that.
I like
that's
it.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Got legs. I mean,
yeah.
Cool. Well, delighted to have all of them in the game. Looking like a fun set, and that should be coming out relatively soon. Had a couple of releases from the secret history of the GWF. Up first is Sarsaparilla, who apparently likes ice cream. Any thoughts on Ms. Sarsaparilla, fellas? Chad, we'll go to you first.
Yeah, it's interesting artwork. They continue to have interesting artwork. It sounds like she is actually in the current 2139 promotion. So I know some people are kind of struggling with some of these people being in different spots in GWF time. You know, I mean, a retcon is a retcon. I don't think it's that big of a deal. You know, and certainly nobody's going to take your cards away if you dropped all eight of them into your current day GWF Fed. So have fun and roll away.
I agree. Tim, any thoughts on Miss Sarsaparilla?
Yeah, you know, probably not, you know, my favorite gimmick, but I didn't think the drawing was that terrible in and of itself. You know, it's kind of nice to just to have a different artist doing something with a different style. You know, it's fine. Yeah, again, I mean, if you're doing something like this and, you know, you don't necessarily have to follow the rules. God knows I didn't when I was playing the GWF. So, you know, I kind of moved people around where I wanted to move them around and used the ones I wanted to and didn't use some others. So, you know, I think people are kind of free to do what they want, and hopefully they'll get some enjoyment out of the Secret History set, whether or not they really love all the storylines they're in.
All good points. And like our friend Grant said on his podcast recently, the promoter police are not going to come to your door and take your cards away. You play the way you wish to play.
So. I hate the promoter police. My God.
Somebody said they were going to nominate me for the promoter police. And I'm like, God, okay. I don't want to go anywhere.
And a badge?
I don't want to try. Well, if I got a badge, that's a whole other story.
Yeah,
that's an entirely
if I did
level.
Get a badge, then yes, I would be interested in being on such a squad, but I don't really want to go and take people's cards.
Well, unless they're cards that you need, then you can go and
then it's
you could take those.
Yeah. Totally. No problems. We also had the announcement of Hale, who is a Titan wrestler. That's about all I know about Hale. I saw the drawing, good drawing, in my opinion. Any thoughts on Hale, Tim? We'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, she looks like kind of a tough cookie, you know? Looks like she'd be kind of a hard hitter. You know, those Titans, they can always, they're always scrappy. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good drawing. I'd be interested to sometime read how all these women kind of do fit into the storylines past and present.
Thank you, Tim. I'm also curious stat level to see how these cards end up too. I'm guessing none of them are going to be superstar level, but I could be entirely wrong. Chad, any thoughts on Hale?
I actually liked this drawing. It's probably the best of the bunch.
Yeah, I kind of think so too.
You can read into that whatever you want to do. But I did like it, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see where she fits in the storyline.
Very well, thank you, sir. That concludes our review of the new releases. Plenty going on in the PhilSugar Games universe, something for everybody. So looking forward to all these sets as they hit the market. Now we're going to get into our main event, which resembles something of what we like to call our Danny Hodgepodges, which is just a little bit of everything. It's mostly going to be questions from you promoters, but we've got a few topics we wanted to discuss beforehand. And topic number one, with a bullet, is the announcement of Thunderbolt Patterson getting into the WWE Hall of Fame. Certainly, for those of us who have gone to the Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa, it's a wonderful announcement, and it's great news to see that Thunderbolt Patterson is being recognized by the WWE Hall of Fame. Chad, any thoughts on this?
Well, of course, I'm super excited to see my good friend Thunderbolt Patterson get inducted in the Hall of Fame. We learned of this about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. We found out about it. We'll just leave it at that. We don't want anybody to get in trouble. And by we, I mean me and Troy. But we found out about it, and of course, we're excited for him. And just the response from people has been wonderful. Lots of messages on Facebook congratulating him. Folks have reached out to me. Did you see that? I'm like, yep. So yeah, I think it's very cool. I do. Boy, I hope they block off a lot of time for his speech. And I can't wait to hear it.
I hope he preaches, brother.
Yes. Yes. And if you want to hear Thunderbolt speak live in person, come to the TNT Hall of Fame this summer and you'll hear him give the best pre-meal prayer you've ever heard.
That blessing last year was phenomenal.
I would agree.
There's not a lot of things I can guarantee in life, but I can guarantee you it'll be better than anything your grandma ever said before Thanksgiving dinner.
I think a couple people were saved by that.
I do too. I think we may have had some conversions. Tim went to church since
We
then.
might have. I have.
Hallelujah, heaven high.
Heaven
I
high
said
indeed. I said, you know, that he if he if he was in church, I'd go. I mean, he that's the that's a church I'd go to right there. But no,
Awesome.
I was thrilled to hear the news. I mean, Chad did kind of fill us in a little bit. I mean, because you know, when you hear about Thunderbolt Patterson going into the WWE Hall of Fame, you got to call somebody. I mean, you know, it's just something you got to do, right? I mean,
Amen.
it wouldn't be Thunderbolt if you didn't call somebody. So we were sworn to secrecy under threats of beheading and kicks in the groin
I
and
was
you
just
know
gonna
all.
say kicks in the ding ding.
There you go. And so yeah, we were threatened, but we were made aware. And I think it's just great news. I mean, he did a lot of work behind the scenes and did a lot of advocating for both wrestlers of color and a lot of things going on just benefits for the guys and everything. And I just think he's one of those underrated people that doesn't get the talk that he should. And I'm thrilled to see that WWE decided to recognize him and put him in their Hall of Fame.
I think it's phenomenal. And I look forward to somehow hearing his speech because I think that has the potential to be one of the better speeches ever given at the WWE Hall of Fame. And I think he might save another person or two while he does it.
Amen.
I will say that there are
Amen.
probably some
Heaven
people
home.
based on recent allegations in WWE that could use saving. So, I mean, he's got his work cut out for him there.
True dat.
He may wash the masses.
Yeah.
Let him give two speeches.
We also had the retirement match of one of the certainly icons of 80s wrestling, 90s wrestling, and beyond. That would be Sting, who had his final match alongside Darby Allin against the Young Bucks. I have not seen said match. Chad, I believe you have. Did you have any thoughts to convey about this particular match?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool the way they had his sons dress up like him and come out. I thought it was a bit ridiculous match. In fact, that Darby took that bump through the glass and six chairs and isn't, you know, in a fucking wheelchair. I mean,
You know, he and I just, you know, he took a similar bump without the glass in another match maybe a couple years ago now. And I thought it was incredibly crazy and stupid then. And then when I saw them start to pull out the glass from underneath the ring, I'm like, okay, this is going to be even more stupid. And the only reason I stuck with it and watched the match, normally there's two things. If you're pulling out, you know, if there's broken glass or thumbtacks involved, I'm out. I just that you're over the limit for me, and I'm done. But I stuck with it because it was Sting's retirement match. Yeah, but it was a little crazy. Probably not my style, but of course, at his age, and you know, I'm sure he's hampered a little bit. His mobility isn't what it used to be, and you can't really do like a, you know, 30-minute Matt Classic with him. So you gotta kind of pull out the stops somehow. But yeah, I mean, Chad, just go ahead, continue with your. But yeah, I would agree
Oh
on.
no, what I found was funny. I'm like going, it's Sting's last match and probably the first time he's ever had glass, unless there's some hardcore death match tour he did in IWA circa 1995 that I missed out. And it's funny because they don't like I used to like that stuff, right? I mean, I would get the FMW tapes and the
Oh yeah,
IWA and
me
the
too.
Wing and all that. And but it was, I don't know. It just now it's like more constant. Or
Yes.
it's I don't know. I don't see why Sting needed glass in his last match. And I mean, to your point, Tim, they still dropped him through a table
Oh yeah.
off the stage.
Oh, I know.
So it seemed a bit excessive, but you know what? Sting won in the end, babies were thrown, everyone was happy. So sorry to spoil it for you, Stu. But you know, it was good to have. Well, I watched AEW you know, I watched the pay-per-view and then I watched him the next Dynamite. And Will Ospreay had a couple of matches and on the Dynamite against the ROH TV champion, whose name escapes me, but I do know we have a card for in the game, Trevor or something.
Sounds
It
right.
could be his last name. There were moments in both of those matches, and I know I've harped on this before, but you know what? It's our show, so you have to listen to me harp again for a minute. Matches, they just go too many finishers long because during the Will Ospreay match, thankfully my family was not in the room because at two points in that Dynamite match, I just yelled out loud to no one, "Oh, for fuck's sake," because there was just ridiculous surefire, you know, finishes, and they weren't the finishes. And then the finishing move was like an elbow. It was relatively tame. I'm like, I mean, you just stuffed him up your ass and shot him out of a cannon, and then you just, you know, give him a fucking forearm. I don't know. What a
I do find that it seems like you do all this crazy stuff that looks like it would hurt like a mother, and then your finish is like a knee to the head or an elbow or you know something like that, and I'm like, this makes no sense to me. It's like you know you're doing like the least most dangerous move is like the finish, but then you're doing all this crazy stuff in between. I mean, you know, and going back to Sting too, I mean, I do like the fact they gave him a couple Superman spots where, you know, he went through a table and just kind of stood right back up. You know what? I mean, they put the guy over. They made the spectacle, which I really like. You know, if you're going to send the guy out, I mean, make it a big deal. And they did their best to make it a big deal. Whether or not you enjoyed the match or not, I mean, they at least kind of made it the center of attention and made it about Sting, which I liked. And yeah, some of the Will Ospreay stuff. I mean, I've been watching matches of his since I think was it Ricochet? He had a match, and this is a few years back. He had a match with Ricochet, I believe, that they said was like the greatest match of all time. And I watched it, and I'm like, yeah, no, it's not my style because it was just too much aerial stuff, and it just didn't really make a lot of sense. But it was impressive what they did the whole time. But I don't know. I'm withholding my judgment on Ospreay. I've seen some of his recent stuff. I think I watched the three-way match he had with Moxley and somebody else in New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom 47 or whatever number it was. And wasn't overly you know, like, holy crap, this guy is the best in the world. So we'll see what happens. I mean, if the guy can go in the ring, I mean, that's a big part of what AEW does. And I'm sure those fans will love the freaking guy. So that won't be a problem. It's just, I think, you know, with casual fans and things like that, you need to have some story and you need to have some personality. And I hope they can kind of do something with him to kind of, you know, make his personality kind of come through and stand out amongst the rest. Because if he's that good, then, you know, you want him to be a big deal. So we'll see how it goes.
Can I say one more thing about T-Bolt?
You could say three more things about T-Bolt.
Five more.
There's a rumor going on because apparently Wikipedia has that T-Bolt had his arms and legs amputated. And I would just like to say that Wikipedia is unmitigated bullshit, because I have shaken both of his hands and seen his legs within the past 8 months. So he has
were they
not
attached
had
to his body at the time.
They were. They were. That's a great
they
question.
Were his original arms and legs.
They were. Yes. That is a great question. But no.
Yes. He wasn't T-Bolt, in the room, but I did shake his hand.
T-Bolt does possess all of his limbs. They have not been amputated. So you can shake his hand at the TNT Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa this July as well. So you can't believe everything you read on Wiki, and most of the time you can't believe most of what you read on Wiki.
Getting back to Ospreay, I mean, the athleticism of some of these guys is off the charts. I mean, just what they can do in the ring. Just a little psychology. Let it breathe, baby. Let it breathe. And I think from what I've read on Ospreay, he's gotten better at that. And some of it, he's had to tone it down because he's going to kill himself.
Right.
Darby Allin is going to kill himself. I mean,
I think Darby wants. I think I'm convinced that Darby Allin wants to die in the ring.
I am too.
I'm absolutely convinced of that.
What he does is nuts.
Yeah.
And I did see the bump from the Sting match, and I just like, you've got to be kidding me. But
yeah, I mean, I saw a bump like that off an apron once, not through glass, onto the six chair table, and I thought that was freaking nuts. So ratchet up 29 feet or whatever, and then throw a pane of glass on there. That was crazy. And I will say, I do like Will Ospreay. I like his matches and everything. Yeah. It's just a little too much. Just a little too much pepper on it.
That's what it is. If you just, it doesn't need to be dialed back a ton, but just some. You know, just, again, let it breathe.
They're building for this match between him and Danielson at the Dynasty pay-per-view sometime. And
I think it's next month.
I can't wait for that. And then they'll probably have another rematch at Falcon Crest or Dallas or whatever the next AEW pay-per-view is named.
Yep.
Sold that one. Damn.
Look forward to that as well. Let's get to some listener questions, which is the rest of our main event. Our loyal listeners have posed these questions over time, and daggone it, we're going to answer them. Up first, from Milton Alexander, is the following. What is the future of the TNT Hall of Fame sets, and how has the team enjoyed doing the sets? So, gentlemen, I'll just throw that out for general discussion. Whoever wants to take it. Tim.
I've loved doing these sets. I mean, they're some of my favorites. I just with some of the names that we've been able to get, you know, the Jack Briscoes, the Bob Backlunds, the Kurt Angles, Mark Henry, you know, just great, outstanding names. And even the vintage guys, you know, you get those pioneer era guys, the Stanislaus Sabiscos, the Gotches, the, all that. I mean, it's just really cool. I mean, because Gotch, I think, was in the vintage set, but I mean, he's still in the Hall of Fame. And so I they're all the same to me. You know, if they're in the Hall of Fame, they're in the Hall of Fame. But I mean, I just really love working on these sets. It's like I learn something every time I'm doing it. You know, last time I worked on the stats for Stanislaus Sabisco, and I just learned a lot more about him than I knew before. And I just thought it was great. Cause you can't see any video, you know, you don't have any video. So you got, you know, you just kind of have to take newspaper articles and whatever you can get. And it's just really cool stuff. And some of the guys like a Kurt Angle, you know, you get a ton of you've got all the video footage basically. And it's just really cool. I love working on them. As far as the future, I mean, you know, we'll keep doing them as long as we could do them. I mean, I think that's pretty much what the future would hold. I mean, Chad, you might know a little better, but, you know, that's that's my intent anyway, or my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think we'll continue to sign people who are either being inducted or have been inducted, and keep this going. I think it's been a great opportunity to get some names we probably wouldn't have gotten, but they're so passionate about the TNT Hall of Fame. And Jerry Briscoe being lead negotiator sometimes, that we're able to work some magic and get some folks signed, you know. But you think about all the names, I would say specifically because of Jerry, like Sergeant Slaughter, Nikita Koloff, Mark Henry. I mean, there's just a lot of guys that it's absolutely because of Jerry, you know, sticking up. I mean, good grief, Kurt Angle, Bob Backlund, you know, people we've reached out to and people we're still working on, and we'll continue to work on. So I'm proud of the effort that we've been able to make as a community to support the TNT Hall of Fame. And I think it goes both ways, because as a result, we've been able to get some fantastic signings for the game, and we'll continue to do that.
I agree. And some of the cards that turn out to be my absolute favorites are Wilbur Snyder and Boris Malenko. So it's not just the absolute A-list stars that we have gotten through these sets, although those have been pretty darn impressive. They're also, I'll admit, they're a little more fun to write about, because they happen to be some of my favorite old-time wrestlers that we have gotten through these sets. So I have had it pour out of me a little more when writing these handbooks. So I'm certainly biased. I really enjoyed all of these sets. We've gotten names that 10 years ago, I'm not sure we would have dreamed would be possible. So I think these sets have been fantastic. Next up, from the true star of Uncharted Territory, we have Matt Dickendescher asking the following. Let's say I use the Gorilla Monsoon announcer card for a while. How could I logically reinsert his wrestler card back into my Fed as an active performer? You might want to tackle this one.
First, I'll offer a logical explanation, and then I'll offer a ludicrous one, because I like to give people options in their booking. So for logically, I think you could just, you know, unless you're saying he's the Manchurian giant that emerged naked from a swamp that Wild Red Berry found, you could not deal with this logically. You would say that he is more the Gorilla Monsoon later who, you know, did he speak when he was a heel, Tim? Do you know?
There's really no video footage of him from that time. I don't know if he grunted and groaned or what the thing was. And technically it wasn't Wild Red Berry.
Who was it?
Who was it?
Bobby Davis.
Bobby Davis. Thank you. I was trying to come up with that and I was blocking. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if he didn't grunt, I'm sure he wasn't erudite in talking about, you know, someone's occipital protuberance or anything back in the day.
Yep.
I'm not really sure.
Okay. Well, you could, you know, I mean, you could say that he has the same powers of vocabulary that he did as a face, and that he was being in even if he had him as a heel in the Jesse, the Body Ventura role. And he was being both a participant and a commentator. Now, for the ludicrous, you could say that he emerged from the swamps of Manchuria naked from a stream and was found by Wild Red Berry, because we don't have Bobby Davis yet. Maybe we will someday. Or whoever you want to have as his manager handler. And perhaps during a match, he took a stiff blow to the head and all of a sudden found himself blessed with a very wonderful, robust vocabulary, and became speaking in English and became a commentator and spoke very, you know, spoke very intelligently, perhaps with a British accent. And then after a while, his concussion wore off, and then he went back to being Manchurian. There you go. I gave you both options, Matt. It's up to you, promoter.
You know, and first of all, who says things need to be logical anyway? I mean, you've got a game where you can have Frank Gotch wrestle,
Darby Allin,
Daniel Macabre. There you go. You know, none of this has to be. If it was logical, then we wouldn't be playing the freaking game. Or if you're playing Champions, you're playing a game about future guys from Aethra and, you know, all these. I mean, let's face it, none of this has any logic built around it. So, you know, you can't overthink it. That's pretty much what I've learned over the years. Yeah, I mean, you could say that he either got a, you know, if he was the logical announcer, you know, you could say he took a blow to the head from Bobby Heenan or something like that. And that all of a sudden, that's why he's now suddenly just grunting and thinks he's from Manchuria.
I like that.
You know, the other thing would be like, if you wanted to bring him in, you could bring him in as just like he was as a babyface, because I don't think there was a lot of logical explanation how he went from being a Manchurian giant to when he went to being a well-spoken, you know, babyface wrestler either from, I forget where they build him from, but he was from Rochester, New York, but I know they build him from there in this area, but I think they build him from someplace else, when he wrestled elsewhere, yeah, but I mean, you could just say that, you know, bring him in as a face and just you know, kind of ignore the whole Manchurian aspect of it.
Willingboro, New Jersey is where he's built from.
That's correct. But I mean, he was a Rochester guy, and I know when he would wrestle in the like Buffalo Rochester area, because people knew that, they would say he was from Rochester, New York. Yeah, I mean, you could just, because he was very well spoken as a baby face back in the day. Once he did that, I think they said that like Bruno paid to send him to school, or I don't know what the hell the explanation was, but it made no logical sense back then. So why should it make logical sense now? I guess that's what I'm saying.
So I'm on Wikipedia to see, and all it says is that he had all of his arms and legs amputated. No, wait, that's Thunderbolt. Sorry, I'm on the wrong one.
He did too.
Uh-huh.
It's a common thing.
It says here Monsoon became a baby face when Bruno Sammartino was attacked by Crazy Luke Graham.
Right.
Now he then began to speak English. So maybe it's like when George the Animal Steel.
How now, baby brown face cow?
And was not how to say how now, brown cow.
You can speak.
So yeah, I don't think it was that logical back then. So I don't think it needs to be logical for you now, Matt.
The moral of the story is pro wrestling. Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
All right. Very well. Our next question comes from Barry Walsh, who asks, who has been the most difficult card to stat in the history of Legends that was not a vintage wrestler? Any thoughts on that, gentlemen? I could add Princess Victoria had to have been pretty tough, because I couldn't find Squadouche on her in terms of her bio. Yeah. So
we found matches of her.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the Sheik was tough.
Yeah.
When we first did him, because you got a guy that's on top of the card, but yet, you know, wasn't a world champion, but was, you know, one of the biggest draws ever, and, you know, would have these 7-minute matches for, I don't know, 20 years of his career, 25 right. years, 40 years of his career, you know, cause he was around so long, but for so much of it, I mean, he would have these short matches where that just ended in DQ.
Right.
And, you know, one way or the other, whether it was the good guy getting disqualified or him getting disqualified or them both getting disqualified. And, that was a tough one. I mean, I'm spitballing here because I'm, as usual, ill-prepared.
I would say Ox Baker, when we revised, we had a lot of drafts for him.
We did.
When we did his color card, because we were thinking of how to do the heart punch. Because in some matches, he went out and did it 10 times against a jobber and just kept repeatedly doing it. And then in some matches, he hit it once and it was like he shot the guy. It almost depended on the promotion.
Yeah.
And how they hyped it up. So I mean, we had one version that was like, oh shit, what was that? We based him off that Champions of the Galaxy wrestler. What the hell was that guy's name? Grovel.
Yes.
Where he had three ad ones.
Ones.
Yeah, and he didn't. The heart punch wasn't a finisher. It was three ad one moves on level three. And then we did this, and then we did that. So he had a lot of iterations.
We had about four different drafts of that going at any one point, and just kind of decided to just, it's like, well, and we discussed them all. I mean, we thrashed them all out, and we really just kind of sat down and went through them all, and couldn't really pick one because he was used, was the move was used differently, and just kind of decided, well, let's kind of leave it kind of like it was on the first card.
But
But
we did put, we really put a
those
lot
are
of thought
tough.
into that one. I'll say it was hard to do Dynamite Kid's card because he had such an explosive offense, and I wanted to get all the fantastic moves he had on there, so we did a lot of drafts on him.
Yeah, Harley, guys like that, like Harley Race and Bobby
Yeah.
Eaton and guys that have, they've got like 40 moves in one match, and you're like,
Too many moves.
what
Right.
do I put on the card?
Right. So it's not always the guys who just punch and kick either. It's sometimes it's the guys who have too many moves. It's like, man, I wish I could use a 10-sided dice for a few of these.
The
Yeah, but
Stratomatic version.
yeah.
But it's difficult. I mean, I mean, there are a lot of them are tough in their own way, and some just kind of come naturally because you see that there are like four or five big moves that they use. So you're like, okay, this is great. These are going to be the level three moves, and then you just have to fill the ones and the twos in. And then some guys that I've worked on have like a thousand, like Pat Patterson. He's got like a
Yeah.
thousand level two moves.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to scrape for like another one of them that you could make a level three move because you need another level three move.
Right.
And you look for one where maybe you got a couple pinfall attempts with it or something like that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that these cards can be difficult. Yeah, those are some good ones though that we brought up.
I agree. Excellent question.
Yeah, it was. That's a very good question.
Yeah. Pete Beck asked, if I can get
Blech.
that name out
Pete
right.
Blech.
Blech.
Stop.
Sorry, Pete. Sorry, Colonel.
What is your favorite genre of books to read other than wrestling books? And who is your favorite author?
I need to correct you. Stephen Minskoff taught us that the correct spelling or the correct pronunciation of that word is Janeer.
Janier, gotcha. Janier. All right. Well,
Janeer.
what's the favorite Janier?
Yeah. I did think of that as soon as I saw the question.
Oh,
And I will say that sometimes to
I do
people,
too.
and they look at me like, what's a Janier? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just doing Minskoff for people who don't know Minskoff.
Yeah, I do the same thing, and I just make myself giggle, and it makes me happy.
Because I just said something out in Arizona. I said, because John Wayne's a big deal out there, and I said something. Well, I said something about his movies, and I said, well, he basically worked in the war movie and Western Genieurs, and I wasn't a big fan of those. And somebody looked at me like, what the hell is a genier? And I was like, okay, sorry, I need to give you some
French.
backstory on this.
So, my so other than wrestling, I kind of like historical fiction.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I like, just kind of alternate. Yeah, I mean, hey, people are sick of the multiverse. I like the multiverse, I enjoy books about different things that could have happened. I'm a big Stephen King fan, so I guess if his stuff is horror, that's my speed. And I do like science fiction too, though. I like a lot of the Star Wars books and everything. So, and yeah, I would say Stephen King's my favorite author.
Very well, Tim.
Well, I'm a murder mystery guy. I mean, I love those. I love whodunits. I love all that stuff. Whether they be, the Sherlock Holmes or the some lesser known or current authors. It's all good stuff to me. I like going back and reading some of the older authors, too, that were contemporaries, say of like an Agatha Christie. So going back to people like Margaret Allingham and people like that in the 20s, the tough part is if when you go back there you miss out because you don't understand some of the things they're talking about because there's just words that aren't used anymore, or things that were maybe specific to England that you just don't understand. I just don't understand here in the US. And sometimes I'll be Googling a lot to try and figure out what's going on.
Like a haberdashery or a engineer.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they'll be talking. One book I read recently had was talking about something I had no idea what it was, and it was like a carriage that was, you know, like a horse drawn like they used for taxis back then. And I was like, and okay, I had no clue what that was. I had to look that up.
Yeah. Tim, it's called Uber.
Yeah, yeah,
it's all the rage
then. I'm not sure that was on Agatha Christie's phone. I don't think she had that app.
Okay.
But yeah, I love murder mysteries. I love reading that stuff. I don't know if I've got a favorite author. I mean, I go back and forth. I just read, I'll read some older stuff. I'll read some newer stuff. I just picked up recently. I picked up Halloween Party, which is the book that by Agatha Christie that the latest movie from Kenneth Branagh is based on. It's called A Haunting in Venice. So I picked that up because it sounds like it's different than the movie, but I haven't read that yet. I've got a list right now of books. I've got like 9 books here that I've got to read. But I don't think I've really got a favorite author. I mean, I love all the Sherlock Holmes stuff. I like a lot of the Agatha Christie stuff, although her dialogue, the only thing she wasn't great at was dialogue, like writing dialogue for people. But boy, I mean, just the intricate plots and stuff like that and the little twists and turns. I love all that stuff in her books. But yeah, I don't really think I've got a favorite author right now that I could pin down. I like reading like Nevada Barr, only because she was a park ranger and she'll write books that are set in different national parks. So I get to learn about the national parks because she'll always include like a lot of history of the parks and things like that in her books. And I really like reading about those, and it makes me want to go, you know, either visit or stay the hell away from those national parks based on what happens in the book. but yeah, I read a lot of, I read a lot of mystery stuff, and I just really enjoy that a lot.
I've certainly liked mystery. I've liked just about every genre there is to like. In various and sundry times, I've gotten heavily into one to the exclusion of others. Got way into science fiction and fantasy even for a while. Read a fair amount of Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time and Terry Goodkind, and burned out because every book was a 1,000-page epic and I just got sick of it. Like, good gosh, these things are doorstops. But you know, some of my favorites still that I'll occasionally go back to or stuff that I read in my youth. Loved me some Edgar Rice Burroughs with all the Tarzan books. They were fantastic. Even though you go back and read them now, they're kind of ridiculous in terms of how they position Tarzan as just the ultimate male, but still like it, still fun. Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, love it. Good stuff. And I've read a little bit of those who are trying to do different takes on Sherlock Holmes, which I find interesting. I've got one upstairs now. I just purchased. I need to dive a little deeper into that. Read one of the short stories there and the author's name escapes me. There's a guy I really liked in the mystery genre. You talked about Nevada Barr. This guy wrote about kind of the Southwest, Tony Hillerman, maybe. I can't remember his name. But he wrote some good books all centering around kind of the Southwest.
Was it Jonathan Hillerman, maybe?
Maybe it's it. I think I'm butchering the guy's name. Yeah. But
Benny Hill? No, not Benny Hill. No, that's a different guy.
He lost his arms and legs.
Oh, the, shit.
It's everywhere. But, you know, perhaps my all-time favorite series of books, though, is Ian Fleming, James Bond. Love them. Bought them all. I have copies, you know, a copy of each. And they were vastly different, but different enough from the movies that I really enjoyed them. I thought Fleming's style was great, and thoroughly enjoyed each story, and highly recommend those to you Bond fans out there. I think they're well worth your time. They're going to be a little different, but they're just fun books. Not going to change your life, but they're just fun books.
And Tony Hillerman is the right guy. John Hillerman was actually the person that played Higgins on Magnum PI. So never mind what I have to say. Once again, showing my range. I'm showing my range. Awesome.
That's an incredible range.
There you go.
That's something.
Good deal. Good question, Pete.
You know, I've never read any of the James Bond books. So, but I loved all the movies, so I should do that. I should check those out.
No, they're worth your while. Grant Pachoco asks, if you could be transported into the world of Champions of the Galaxy, could sit ringside for one and only one match with any competitors, who would be in that match? Chad, you're showing enthusiasm for this question. You may go first.
I would go to the match on Brimstone with Sarsaparilla versus Blazing Skull and a barbed wire man. No. I think I would want to be... I want to be like in a historical match where something kind of shitty happens, you know, like maybe where Thanos gets spiked, or perhaps where Pulsar gets his eye injured by Bishop Hell. When I read this question, I immediately thought of Eye Patch Pulsar. Those are, to me, kind of big ones.
Excellent. Makes sense, Tim.
You know, I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was thinking about some of the more important matches, you know, that would have gone on, and it would have been great to be at like a Star Warrior versus Thanos match, like, you know, right after the breaking of the Galaxian Code, or maybe even back to like Omega and Morpheus and something like that. The one, as much as I'm complaining about like the garbage matches of today, you know, I wouldn't mind sitting in on a Wolf versus Mayhem match. I think that would have been pretty cool. That probably would be my number one, because I know Grant's trying to get us away from the honorable mentions, of which I have 400. that might have been my number one. You could do like an Anything Goes match with Wolf and Mayhem. That might have been a fun watch.
I was going to say, the first thought that popped into my head was some variation of Thanos Star Warrior, but for me, the most epic bouts and best few that I've really ever had in the Champions world, certainly on the official characters, is Godsend and Omega. So I would love to sit in on one of those matches that came alive on my tabletop sometime and just watch that. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. Always have it at kind of a slower pace, more old school, which is just my preference, but I would love to see that match unfold somewhere in a galaxy near you.
Chad, I'm going to offer up an. Oh, go ahead.
I'm shocked that Chad's wouldn't include the Greek gods.
Well, I was sitting here ruminating, I was actually thinking, it's like, you know what I would want to see is a match that was fantastic on my tabletop. A tag title match with the Greek gods defending against Titan Power, and both teams were faces. But, I think I've talked about this match before, you got double zero finishers on each side and plus one. So that just, hopefully, if the dice treat you right, is a whole lot of kickouts, you know.
If you stay away from the snake eyes.
Yeah. So that would be a good one. And, you know, as you talked about Wolf versus Mayhem, I think an Aether and Ultimate Escape match with the Legends versus the Vanguard from Civil War would also be a pretty epic match. So, but I'm going to go with Gods versus Titan Power, and everything else I mentioned, Grant, was honorable mentions, and that's just what you get around here.
You don't like it? Don't listen to Uncharted here.
This isn't the show for you.
Yeah, list one and only one, please. Who are you talking to here?
Exactly. Come on, baby.
I nominated my top one. It just took me a while to get there.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Grant. And last but certainly not least, we have another question from Matt Dickendisher. It's a two-parter. He asks, first, when will I get my Freddie Blassie manager card? So let's address that first. Any thoughts on that, Legends team?
Who knows?
Nah.
I mean, that's kind of one where the eligibility, as we say in the financial aid world, may be disputed.
What is I'm trying to think of that. I'm going to probably screw this up. I'll probably mince off this too. What's the word in like the art world? Is it the provenance of the
province? It's a province.
Yeah.
No, but, provenance. I can't remember. You're close. It begins
with
a D.
What the
I thought it was like Providence, like basically proving that like I own this painting.
Yeah.
Oh, where, yeah. You know, I never heard that.
And so that like the line of you know, who it's passed to over the years is legit. Yeah. So that's what I would say when it comes to the Freddie Blassie manager card. Or, you know, again, just, you know, pen to paper, buddy. I mean, you know, it's pretty easy to come up with your own. So
just, I'll make you one for Christmas, Matt.
There you go.
Matt's second question says
very controversial.
It is controversial. I'm still feeling the pain of the dagger in my back. And when will Stu be replaced on the Super Report rankings analysis segments? I believe I was replaced once in a kind of a bloodless coup. I have reclaimed that mantle with the last one when I was deathly sick and attempted to do my best and keep it under 30 minutes, which I think I achieved successfully. And by gosh, I am going to hang on to that segment as long as I can until I am thoroughly, you know, used up or tossed aside. So that's
I think they should pry that out of your cold, dead hands, Stu. I mean, I would say that that's yours forever. And by God, you should take however freaking long with it as you want. That's my take on that.
I'm gonna read contenders next time.
It'll be the third Thursday from never that you're replaced. And there are plenty of people who like your in-depth and robust analysis. Matt and I may not be two of those people because we're just tired and those are long episodes. But you know
get
what,
through
Stu?
This damn analysis.
You do you, Stu.
I think Stu should analyze every single wrestler not listed in the top 10.
Well, everyone on the roster at that time.
Single wrestler that's not listed in the top 10. And the ones that are outside like the top 15, here's where I think they would have been around.
Yes. Yes.
I think you go for it.
I think we could have Stu do this Stewart State of the Union about the roster, and we'll work on that one for a future show.
I will fine tune that. Excellent question, Matt. All right. Okay. And with that, our fellow promoters, Chad, do you have another?
I have questions. I added, you may not have looked at the most up-to-date run sheet.
No, the ever-changing run sheet.
Ever-evolving. So here's my
question
that I thought of as I was prepping for the show and putting some stuff together. What's the last song you listened to either on your phone or in the car or on your Victrola this afternoon, Tim? What's the last song you listened to before we went on the air today?
Wow, that's a good question. I haven't really listened to a lot, although I think when I was sitting in the airport coming back from vacation, I did listen to the Lindsey Buckingham song Arizona. God, I'm Minskoffing this again. It's Mark Lindsey. It's Jesus. What the hell is going on with me tonight? I'm all over the place.
Damn daylight savings time.
Throw us all for a loop. You know, and Arizona doesn't even observe daylight savings time, which is the worst, found out being in Arizona.
Nor does Indiana, I think, for some reason.
I think they do. I think it's Arizona and Hawaii don't.
Okay.
And a bunch of the other possessions don't either. So like, you know, Puerto Rico and Guam. American Samoa, all that stuff.
Maybe at one point in Indiana it was by county or something ridiculous.
I think there were parts of Indiana that did it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes it even more confusing then.
Yeah, I know.
Right, because I saw something on the news about this lady who lived in one county and worked in another, and how she had to set the clocks in her house to get to work.
That's horrible.
Denizens of Indiana, please let us know what the hell is going on in your state. if it's been fixed or what's going on with that. So, all right.
Yeah,
so yours
I was
is
stunned because I was actually leaving on Sunday. And so Saturday night, I realized that it was kicking in. And I'm like, oh, you know, we didn't consider that you got, you know, I said, I'm sure all the times on the itinerary are good, but you know, and she said, well, we don't follow daylight savings time. She said, it's always sunny and beautiful here. Why should we have to change the clocks? I'm like, okay, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, okay, so Arizona by Mark Sterling. Okay,
There you
Stuart,
go.
how about
Yeah.
you?
Yeah.
The other night, because generally I listen to podcasts anymore, which is sad given how much I used to love music. But anyway, I had the rate just the radio on. Took my bride to Half Price Burger Night, and
Yeah.
driving home, Steve Winwood, While You See a Chance. I think,
Well,
yeah, older
okay.
Steve Winwood, or not that old, but I that led me to wax poetic on Back in the High Life and that whole album, which was my freshman year of college, which you heard all over the place. So
Oh, there you go.
that's
I
it.
was a big fan of him in the Spencer Davis Group too. He was quite the thing, and then had that big comeback in the 80s. I mean, he was great.
He did.
All right. Well, as I was getting ready and scurrying around and plugging things in to get ready, I just had my Spotify on and just doing a shuffle through all the songs I've liked in that playlist. And a song called "Fly" by Loudmouth came out,
There you go.
and yeah, it's one that I actually found through Spotify's where they build you playlists, based on what the kind of music you like. I'd never heard of it, so I've only been familiar with this song for about 5 years, and it's really good, rock song, heavy metal. So yeah, that's what I'm just it popped up and I'm like going, and I had thought about this song, but I couldn't remember the title or the artist, so I couldn't figure it out. So just by randomizing through my thing, it popped up. So that's what made me think of this question. So then my other question, we're recording this on March 14th. What's your favorite kind of pie? And I'm not asking this in a rock sort of way either. I'm just, what's your favorite kind of pie? Because I am a bigger fan of pie than cake when it comes to desserts.
Interesting. Well, I'll start.
Please.
It's a tie. I'm gonna It's a cop out.
It's okay.
Apple
Oh,
or
there we go.
blueberry.
Let's get the honorable mentions out here
Yeah.
first. Grant
That's a
is
dead heat.
probably
That's a dead
turning us
heat for
off right
me.
now. Yeah.
Apple or blueberry?
Yeah,
Okay.
that's a dead
Okay.
heat.
Okay. Timmy?
Because of where I grew up, where I grew up in Western New York, I grew up in a place called Hilton, which is the largest apple producer in West, at least Western New York. It may be in all of New York State. And at least three of the people that I graduated from high school with, their families had apple orchards. I'm a big fan of the apple pie. And it's you got to get it. You got to get it warm. You got to get it right. Yeah, there's some damn good apple pie in Hilton, New York. You can't really go wrong there. Kelly's Fruit Farm. You go to Kelly's Fruit Farm, get your apple pie. I mean, you can't even hold the box because the bottom of the box is so hot because it
No,
just
that's
came
awesome.
off the out of
Because
the
it's a
oven.
hot box
So
of pie.
it's a hot box of pie. And let me tell you,
Very
that's
good.
about as good as it gets.
Very good. Well, my favorite, it is, I will have a first place and an honorable mention. Favorite is pecan pie. And
Good
then
stuff.
my second favorite, you
Is
may have
pecan
never,
pie?
pecan, whatever. I mean,
My
junior
favorite's
genre.
pecan. My second is pecan. They're close. They're one and two.
Yes, you may, I don't know, you may have never heard of this pie,
Oh boy.
sour cream raisin.
Ooh, that's
It's
new to
a,
me.
it's, it's. No, it's not like eating a scoop of, sour cream like it's on your taco or your half price burger. It's like a custard, and then it has raisins in it. So,
Don't disparage Half Price
yes.
Burger.
Now, and when my parents lived in Ohio, apparently, my dad said something about liking it at work, and this lady there goes, "Oh, you mean funeral pie?" So. Apparently, in parts of Northwest Ohio, you only whip that one out for funerals.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a
It's a
good one.
sad pie.
See, with me, like I love raisins. Like I could eat a box of raisins.
Right.
For some reasons, I don't like raisins in things.
I know
Like
people like that.
I
Yeah. I
don't
get
like
that.
them in cookies. I don't like them in cakes or pies. But if you give me a box of raisins, I'll wolf them down.
Yeah, I can get
I don't
that.
know why, but
Now, do you like raisins in a boat or do you like raisins with a goat?
I like pretty much everything with a goat is okay.
Yeah, right.
If I had a box of raisins with a goat, I mean that,
Ah.
I could sit, I'd share them with the goat.
That's some good living.
I'd let the goat chew the cardboard box that I ate the raisins out of. I mean, it'd be a good time.
Good stuff. All right. Does that conclude our questions, sir?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Unless either of you have a question you'd like to.
Well, I have a point of clarification, I guess. I looked it up, Tim, and it was neither. Tim had Providence, so he was thinking about the future. I had Province, so I was thinking about Canada. It was it's provenance with regards to artwork. So that's the facts, the story.
Is it John Hillerman? Did he tell you this? Did
no.
In his Knight Rider voice?
Was it Lindsey Buckingham? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where you're getting your information from, Stu, but
how many arms did John Hillerman have?
He amputated? Only had one.
Oh gosh.
Poor guy.
This is a rough podcast.
That's why he became Kit, because they amputated his arms and legs, so they just stuck him in the hood of a car.
That's it, poor bastard.
Yeah. That was his real electronic eye on the front of the car.
Oh gosh.
Because they amputated his eyes. You know why? He was on a big ladder and he fell through a pane of glass. So Darby Allin, you best be aware. You ain't climbing Mount Everest with fucking no arms and no legs, dude. Although I bet there are people who have done that, and hats off to them. But not Darby Allin.
I think you have to pretty much be dragged up there, but I mean that would be kind of rough. I could see Darby trying it though.
Well, he is. He's doing it. Yeah, like a month.
I heard that he was. Yeah. I mean, without the arms and legs would be kind of a. I mean, and that would impress me even more. But
what is it, Mighty Python? I'll bite your knees off.
Oh God!
Okay, flesh wound.
Two below the knee amputees have reached the peak in the past. New Zealander Mark Inglis in 2006, and China's Xia Bo in 2018. So you know what? God bless them. And that's
there
awesome.
You go.
Absolutely right. That is a monumental feat.
And they never took a bump off a ladder through a pane of glass.
No, I bet they did not.
Did Jonathan Hillerman do that?
Yeah, I think Tony Hillerman might have.
Tony Hillerman did it.
Lindsey Buckingham did not. I heard that guy's
I think
lazy
Mark
fuck.
Lindsey might have done that when he was with Paul Revere and the Raiders, but I think that was their finish. I think when they would do kicks, they would do a thing where he went off the ladder. But
what about the guy who was in the cramps?
Oh, Lux Interior.
Yeah, what is the state of his limbs, and did he count my first while he took a pie?
They're dead along with the rest of his body.
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, did he die in a climbing accident?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I believe his wife, Poison Ivy, is still around, who played guitar in the band.
Nice.
The Batman villain?
Antagonizing Bruce Wayne.
I'm not sure she had any relation to DC Comics at all. But yeah, she was the guitar player in the band, and he was the lead singer for the Cramps.
Oh, there they are. Yes.
Excellent.
A lovely couple.
Yeah. Like Sid and Nancy.
Back
couple
on the rails.
What? I have no idea. But
that's good stuff. All right. With that, let's.
What
wrap
a great
this
episode
up.
This has been, by the way.
I've had a wonderful time. I don't know about the rest of them listening, but.
Yeah. Listening may not have been so much on the enjoyment side, but.
Was Iggy Pop in the Cramps?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, there's a guy who looks like him, so I just wonder. He was in the Stooges.
I think that could be Tony Hillerman.
Okay.
before he got his start as a mystery writer.
That's true.
What's his name? Oh, shit. What's his name? Cat Stevens wrote T for the Tillerman. Was he talking about Tony Hillerman? is it T Hillerman as Tillerman? Maybe.
See, these are the things. These are the things we ponder here on this pod. This is a learning experience for all our listeners.
We go deep.
Yeah, yeah. We may have half the number of listeners now that we had at the beginning of the podcast, but by God, they're learning stuff tonight.
There are countries bailing left and right.
And I don't blame them.
I mean, it's like how the United States is going to ban TikTok because of the Chinese. There will be countries banning uncharted territory. We will be that high up there in the lexicon with TikTok.
There you go.
God bless us, each and every one of us.
All right. Well, with that, promoters, if you're still with us, the five of you that are, we're going to wrap this thing up and do our shout outs as is tradition. Tim, why don't we start with you?
Well, by God, I mean, you know, if there's only five people left, it's almost why am I even going to bother doing the t-shirt promo? I mean, you know, I mean, if they're stuck with us this long, they probably already got their t-shirts from tkostore.com. I mean, that's right. They've already gone to teekostore.com and picked up their Uncharted Territory merchandise, their t-shirts, their hoodies, their sweatshirts. You know, they you need a new t-shirt for spring, people, because that stuff you've been wearing all winter is going to be a little stinky. So you need to go there and kind of refresh your Uncharted Territory merch. But you know, it's tkostore.com. You know where to go. You know the drill by now. So there you go. Other than that, you know, I you know, the whole Arizona no daylight savings, that just completely flummoxed me. I was like, you know, I can't believe there's states that don't do this. And then I looked it up and I was like, by God, there's states that don't do this. So I learned too occasionally. You know, I don't know much, so it's pretty easy to learn when you don't know anything at all. So you know, that's about it. I just want to say thanks everybody for listening. You know, the few that are remaining. We'll be back again sometime at some point with episode 172. And you know, we hope you somehow come back for that. That's all I can hope for.
Well said, sir. Well said. Chad.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everybody who listened to episode 170 and commented on the Phil Singer Games discussion board. Folks like Lee, TTX, Grant, Throwing Toasters, KB, Sinestro24, Matt Dickendisher, LA Wraith, Travis605, Vegas the Faction, Thomas TK, Thomas, I hope you're feeling better. Tournament Master and Malice Lover, thank you for taking the time to listen and offer comment on this fucking train wreck we do every week or every other week or when we feel like it. And Corey always does this. You know, I don't really listen to Corey when he does this, so I'm just gonna wing it here. To people who provide content for our community, thank you, Grant, with the Solar Promoter Podcast. I will say I've been listening to that, and the other night it was on. He did a live recording for people in his Patreon group. And I listened, and it brought me back to when he used to do the live recordings of that. And the I think it was he started that in the early stages of the pandemic, and like on Friday nights there was just nothing to do. So, and I would always, not because I had nothing to do, but because my schedule was free, I would always listen to the live recordings of that. So, you should consider being a Patreon for Grant's Solo Promoter Podcast. It is a good deal and helps keep that ball rolling. Let's see who else. Brock Atkinson does Brockster Builds, and Mike and Brock have a podcast. Dave Little has a YouTube channel where he does things. He does replays of games. That was terrible. Sorry, Dave. Brad Plays 81. Go check that out. And whoever else does shit for our community, thank you. Go check out their stuff. You know who they are. You know who they are. You know who they are. They know who they are. I'm out.
Someone knows who they are.
I'm down a lot of sleep lately because of this daylight savings
It's a killer.
harassment.
At least we have
Yes.
somebody to blame it on. It's all about the daylight savings time.
I'll about 3 weeks I'll have snapped out of this, so it'll be rough, but we'll get through it, friends.
Didn't they have a bill like ready to go that this was going to be the last time we sprang ahead and then we stayed with this time for the rest of eternity or something like that? Or am I making that up?
I mean, I don't even understand why we do this anymore
I don't
because
either.
I think it had something to do with farming back in the day. And you know, my grandparents were both, you know, both sides were farmers and everything. But now they got fucking tractors with floodlights like a fucking stadium on them. They don't need to worry. You can farm in the dark. They have GPS in the tractors and shit. You don't even need to drive the tractor. The tractor turns and plants all the shit. So I don't know. I picks the apples at Jenny Sally's fucking apple orchard in Hilton, New
Just stop
York.
messing with my sleep, people.
God
Stop it.
bless America.
I mean, they're going to have the driverless tractor. I saw driverless cars in Arizona for the
Did
first
you?
time.
That's
Did you?
fantastic.
And I was like, that it
Did you
just
flip
freaked
them
me
off?
out. Yeah. Yeah, I ran right into them. And I you know, they'll have the driverless tractors, so you don't even need to worry about that with farming.
Oh my God, I was behind this guy today doing 35 and a 55. I wish that car would have gone fucking driverless.
Caught on fire.
Old bastard.
Hey. As an old bastard, I resent that.
Yeah, but you don't drive 35 and a 55 because you
No,
have
I
fucking
don't.
road rage and I know what you would do.
Nah, you, that's a good point.
You would have also called him an old bastard.
Oh, yeah, I would have.
All right. Well, with that, my shout out is very, I don't even know how to follow this. My shout out is very simple. It's tournament time. I'm enjoying the ACC tournament. In fact, I have it on in another part of this house that I'm watching and enjoying. March Madness is upon us. Wow. We had a little visual there. But March Madness is upon us. And looking forward to that. In fact, I'm taking off next Thursday and Friday to do nothing but watch basketball, which some might find insane, but I love this tournament almost more than life itself. So I'm looking forward to it with a lot of vigor and enthusiasm, and bring it on. Yes,
Stuart.
Jim. Yes.
There can be no honorable mention. The tournament or eggnog? Which is
tournament.
The tops?
Tournament. Tournament.
Wow.
Eggnog.
Tournament or half price burger night?
Oh!
That one's,
I'm getting
that was a
serious.
push.
That's a push?
If there's a play-in game on a Tuesday night, do you skip the half-price burger or do you DVR the game and watch it after you have a belly full for a reasonable amount of money?
The Tuesday night games are bullshit, so no, I would go to the burger night.
All
Burger
right.
night in that case.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, and with that, whoever's left listening to this absolute disaster, we appreciate you. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Uncharted Territory. Good night, good day, and good night, Denmark.
Stay safe, be excellent to each other.
Hey promoters, it's Corey again, and we would love to hear from you. Please send us your questions, topic suggestions, or any other comments, and we might include your audio in a future episode of Uncharted Territory. There's two ways you can do it. You can go to tinyurl.com/UNCTER. Again, tinyurl.com/UNCTER. You can click the message button and record up to a 1-minute message, and we can include that in a future episode. Or you can email us either audio or a written question at our email address, utpodcast2020@gmail.com. Again, utpodcast2020@gmail.com. Want to show your friends that you listen to Uncharted Territory? Well, head on over to our store at tkostore.com/collection/uncharted-territory. You can choose from a shirt or hoodie with Travis Heckle's great podcast cover artwork, or a shirt with a design inspired by one of our favorite bands. While there, check out the other great merchandise at TKO, including shirts of several of the top MMA fighters, including Bigfoot Silva, Tim Sylvia, Ensign Inoue, and more. Need a shirt made for your event or organization? Contact TKO, run by Filsinger Games promoter Justin Bulka, aka Pike Mojo, to place your order. Again, that's tkostore.com, TEEKOstore.com.
Insert wolf music.
If you're editing, no, he's not. You're probably editing, aren't you?
I'm gonna try. If not, then Corey will edit it. We'll have a super episode next week.
Then Corey will edit. But we've got a few topics we wanted to discuss beforehand. And topic number one, with a bullet, is the announcement of Thunderbolt Patterson getting into the WWE Hall of Fame. This is fantastic news, certainly for people that have gone to the Hall of Fame. Excuse me. I'm blanking. Is Corey edit this? Chad edit this? The Waterloo. Good gosh.
What are you all fucking right. talking about, Stu?
I'm tired. Daylight savings has kicked my ass. All right, let's pick this back.
There'll be a lecture about that later.
Three, two, one.
On the next episode of the Uncharted Territory podcast, the crew welcomes Bob Smith of the Outdated Wrestling Podcast. Bob has worked in the wrestling business for many years as a wrestling journalist. He wrote for the Pro Wrestling Illustrated series of magazines, as well as WCW Magazine. Hear about Bob's many experiences in the wrestling business, as well as his current work with Strat-O-Matic Baseball.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are some of the best years. Some of the best years of my life is when I was in that office in Rockville Center, New York. So why don't I not go back and relive that a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
That's Bob Smith of the Outdated Wrestling Podcast on episode 172 of the Uncharted Territory Podcast. Coming up on episode 172 of the Uncharted Territory podcast, we welcome special guest Bob Smith of the Outdated Wrestling Podcast. Bob also worked as a wrestling journalist for many years, writing for the Pro Wrestling Illustrated series of magazines, as well as WCW Magazine. Hear about Bob's many adventures in the pro wrestling business. That's Bob Smith on episode 172 of the Uncharted Territory podcast. On the next episode of Uncharted Territory. On the next episode of the Uncharted Territory podcast, the crew welcomes Bob Smith of the Outdated Wrestling Podcast. Bob has worked in the wrestling business for many years as a wrestling journalist. He wrote for the Pro Wrestling Illustrated series of magazines, as well as WCW Magazine. Hear about Bob's many experiences in the wrestling business, as well as his current work with Strat-O-Matic Baseball. That's Bob Smith of the Outdated Wrestling Podcast on episode 172 of the Uncharted Territory Podcast.